Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Listeners, and welcome back to Stomp This Way. Hey, go away. Recording in progress. That's a reference to the movie, if you haven't watched it yet, guys. Isn't that what he said? Anyway.
Whatever.
We're sitting here with our good friend Dylan.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Former podcast, still friend of the show. He's joining us today. He drove down, made the great journey from OKC to Oklahoma to watch.
Well, we're just telling people where we're from now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll bleep that out later.
No,
you won't. Not that anybody cares.
What's a
Hey, you know, if you remember in grade school, the mounds were universally known. Everybody knows where those are.
They were in history books.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Spyro the Dragon.
Yes. Anyway,
basically the same thing.
We watch Godzilla, Kong, the New Empire. The X is silent,
allegedly.
According to the internet.
Allegedly.
But, yeah, just a quick aside. I told you guys the last episode that we had bought tickets to go see it in Dolby in Tulsa, but I hate the AMC. I had reserved tickets for 3:30. Friday afternoon, and they just straight up canceled that showtime.
Cancel.
So I was like, screw it. We just went and watched it at our local AMC. We watched the regular 2D, skipped the 3D version.
Thank God.
I thought 3D was done, like dead. Why is it a thing again?
Avatar came back, man.
Damn it. Damn you, James Cameron. So we can't speak to the quality of the 3D, but anyway.
No. I don't want to speak to the quality of the 3D.
I don't either. It just gives me a headache.
I don't like it.
But
the last movie I saw in 3D was Avatar.
Avatar.
I did go see it in 3D because, I mean, that's the way James Cameron intended.
Avatar 2?
Yeah.
I think I just saw it in 2D.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw it in IMAX 3D.
Ooh. Fancy.
Fancy. Well, it's a bit more of a drive for us to go to an IMAX than it is you.
Yeah.
But so anyway, guys, how's it going? Life's good.
Oh, it's peachy.
That's great. So, Dylan, what was the last MonsterVerse project you watched? I guess Godzilla vs. Kong?
Yeah.
Have you revisited any of them recently?
I think I've seen Godzilla vs. Kong since we originally watched it for the podcast, but
yeah.
I don't know that I've watched it, if what you would consider recently. Definitely not in the last year.
Yeah. Well, I did a sort of rewatch of all the movies. I was setting it home, working from home the other day. I just put them on in the background, so I kind of half paid attention. So just to prime myself, Andrew and I also watched Monarch. Of course, we reviewed that. And we also watched the in-canon, allegedly, Skull Island anime, which we also reviewed. So you can go out and listen to those. But anyway, so where were you guys coming into this movie? What was your excitement / expectation level at, Andrew?
My expectation was at a mid, you know. I was hoping it would be better than the last one. But, you know, I wasn't hoping for no big, glorious Godzilla Minus One over here.
Yeah. Dylan, what about you?
You know, honestly, I think the MonsterVerse has definitely had its ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the truth.
You know, we've shared our thoughts about all of them on the podcast.
Yeah.
The 2014 Godzilla's got its moments. Kong Skull Island's all right.
Mm-hmm.
We King of the Monsters was the first one we did really on this show. So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's there. And then, honestly, Godzilla vs. Kong is pretty freaking entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
What more can you ask for? Yeah.
And we'll re-rank them at the end of this show, but.
But, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't expecting high art. Like Andrew said, I wasn't expecting Godzilla minus one after we just got that. I was like, well, this is what cinema is.
Yeah.
We were just going to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And both of you brought minus one up. And, you know, I think that is, you know, kind of the downfall. I mean, it's only been 4 months since the U.S. release of minus one. It was real close together. And I think that is kind of the trap this movie's going to fall into, is it's going to be compared to minus one. I'm just going to say up front, if you go in with the mindset of comparing this to minus one, it's a complete failure.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I didn't go in expecting that. So, yeah. I mean, I walked the movie expecting big monkey, big lizard.
Yeah. So that's, and me too. I went into this movie with the goal of meeting it at its level. This is not high art like minus one. This is the definition.
It's a movie.
Yeah, this is the definition of a popcorn flick.
Yeah.
So that's what I tried to go in with the idea of meeting this movie there. So anyway, you guys want to do a quick spoiler-free thought section before we get into the rest of the podcast?
We can if you'd like.
All right. Well, Andrew, why don't you start? Just quick spoiler-free overall thoughts. Should you see it? Should you not see it?
I mean, if you're a fan of Godzilla, you should go see it. You enjoy it. Big monkey, big lizard duking it out. It's a good time, like always. You know, it probably won't be the greatest thing you ever see in the world. But, you know, I think I'll give it I'll go watch.
Okay. Dylan, what do you think?
I mean, overall, it's got some, it's about what I expected, honestly.
Yeah.
You don't go to the MonsterVerse at this point. They started out trying to have human characters. You don't go to the MonsterVerse for characters. You go to see the big monkey and the big lizard on the screen and expect it to look really cool and for there to be some fun action scenes. And it delivers that.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if you're a fan of Godzilla, if you're a fan of Kong, definitely go watch it. You'll find some sort of entertainment or enjoyment just from seeing those characters on screen. Even if you're just a fan of, you know, your average popcorn blockbuster or popcorn flick, I mean, I've definitely passed 2 hours in worse ways, so it's worth watching, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of listened and watched the audience around me, see what their reaction was, because I figured they were not, you know, neck deep in this stuff like we are.
They probably haven't gone through and spent 3 years of their life reviewing giant monster movies.
Yeah. And they seem to enjoy it quite
lots
a bit.
Lots of chuckles.
Yeah.
Lots of laughs and oohs and ahs. I agree with you guys. It's just a movie where a bunch of CGI giant monsters are doing a lot of fighting. And I think it's got the appropriate tone and appropriate amount of jokes and charismatic actors to carry you through the human parts. And yeah, the action is fun. So if that's what you're wanting, it's definitely there. I think it's a fun enough 2 hours and worth checking out.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get into the meat of this podcast. Beyond this point, there will be spoilers for the entire movie. So
sorry about you.
Sorry about it. Just prepare yourself for that reality. So anyway, you want to start with some production trivia?
Go for it.
All right. Well, this is the 38th Godzilla film and the 13th Kong film. Dylan's like, I felt every one.
I had to do a lot of movies. Not to count all the ones in between.
So, you know, as we kind of talked about in the past, despite the relative box office failure of King of the Monsters, you know, it was the lowest grossing of the MonsterVerse, opened kind of weak in the like 40 million range domestically, finished with a little over 300 million, might have reached broke even. break even barely with media sales and everything. They went ahead and did GVK because they'd already filmed it. But, of course, again, we've talked about it, some extenuating circumstances. It was considered a financial success. They had an abbreviated marketing campaign, saved money. It was really the first, one of the first post-COVID blockbusters to actually catch on at the box office. And even though the box office returns weren't like glowing, I think globally like $420 million.
Listen, March of 2021 for theaters having basically barely been open. I mean, by that point in time, Tenet came out in early September. I mean, theaters had been quote unquote reopened for 6 months. There are still a lot of major markets that hadn't seen large returns to the theater until this movie, until GVK came out and it made it, crept its way up to over $100 million domestically. That's pretty impressive for the time that it came out, especially being a day and date release with, you know, being on HBO Max at the time. So I don't think you can call that movie anything but a success given its circumstances.
Yeah. Cause I think Tenet and Wonder Woman had come out like the fall before and flopped real hard.
I mean, I think Tenet made like $50 million maybe domestically or something like that.
But anyway,
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyway, so Tenet in the black, the greenlit GXK, as I will from here on abbreviate it. So anyway, but well, they greenlit a film. So they bounced around some ideas. You know, a Son of Kong film was bounced around, rumored for a long time. I think you can see elements of that idea in this film. Eventually, they decided they were going to bring back both characters and do the film that we got. Filming began on July 29th of 2022 and finished in November of 2022. It has the lowest production budget, reportedly, of any film in the MonsterVerse.
Really?
Yep. And Adam Wingard has expressed interest in returning for a concluding chapter in a trilogy. So I guess he'll, unless Warner Brothers decides to boot him, which I don't see why they would, I guess he'll be back for the next one. Because according to these box office returns that Dylan's about to read off to you, we're probably going to get another one. So Dylan, what is the box office like so far here Friday night on the 29th?
So release for the film, obviously released today, March 29th, 2024. If you roll in Thursday night previews, estimated budget of around $135 million. Friday estimates so far of around $31 million, including the Thursday preview grosses of an estimated 10. Opening day in China seems to have brought in about $13.4 million USD, and with about $15.9 million USD in other overseas markets so far. It's projected to open around $65+ million domestically, so not a bad domestic opening by any means. No, if we can get there. No. With a global open of around $150 million, that puts it a little below where Dune just opened up.
Yeah,
It opened to about $80 million domestically and about $200 million worldwide. So
yeah,
and that's a huge movie.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Dune Part Two, that's the movie to go watch. But no. Let's talk about that budget for a second. $135 million, obviously very reasonable for this type of blockbuster. I made a joke earlier. It's like, they must have offshored some of that CGI work because there's a lot of it. But, you know, it'll make back. Of course, you roughly double that for marketing, but it'll make back its production budget plus some on its opening weekend. It'll make money and we'll come back. But, you know, that $65 million estimated, rough estimate so far, domestic opening, that's above even really the most optimistic projections going into the weekend. Of course, it helps that it's Easter weekend. A lot of people are off work or out of school or whatever, that kind of stuff. So global opening of 150. Obviously, it's tracking really well in China. I think really the first Hollywood blockbuster in several years to track well in China. So that's going to help out a lot. I don't think Chinese markets were open when Godzilla vs. Kong.
I doubt it.
Came out. So this will definitely be a boost for this movie, and it's going to make some money.
I think so. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd say probably estimate another $100 million probably for marketing on it.
Yeah, something like that.
Be my guess. So, I mean, that puts you up to 235.
Yeah.
It makes 160 this weekend. I don't see any reason why it doesn't why it doesn't turn a profit, not counting the fact that toys and merchandising and all of its, you know, there's other markets.
There's plenty of toys to sell from this movie.
Plenty of toys.
Let me tell you. But anyway, we're going to listen to a trailer.
We are.
We're going to come back. We're going to read off the cast and crew, read off a plot summary, and then we're going to dive deep into Godzilla, Kong, the New Empire. See you in a bit.
For most of human civilization, we believed that life could only exist on the surface of our planet. What else were we wrong about?
Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in?
This world has more secrets than we could possibly imagine.
Miracles, I guess. Still happen now and then.
What is that?
That's not Kong. Who could have done this?
Kong can't stop this on his own.
He won't be alone.
A mini Kong.
All right, we're back. Dylan, why don't you tell him who made this thing?
Nobody.
Oh, AI.
We made this movie.
Wow. I don't see any box office returns in my bank's account.
No. All right, so this movie, same as last movie, directed by Adam Wingard.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Written by Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, Jeremy Slater, and Adam Wingard. Music by Tom Hulkenberg and Antonio DiLorio, I guess.
Yeah.
Starring Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Dan Stevens, and Kaylee Hotley.
Hotley?
That's what it Hoddle? Says.
Whatever Hoddle. It is.
Hotley? Hoddle?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Something like that.
She's the little girl.
Since when did Tom Hulkenberg start going just by his name instead of Junkie XL?
He's a real composer now, Dylan. He's doing whatever this score is. I don't know, but
art.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, plot summary. Are you guys ready for this?
Are you ready for it?
Yeah. I don't know. It's quite lengthy, but here we go.
Be careful.
Several years after the events of GVK, Kong is growing tired of living alone in the Hollow Earth. Under the supervision of Dr. Andrews and her adopted daughter Gia, who reside on a Monarch base on the surface world. Meanwhile, Godzilla is restoring order to the Earth's surface, putting down other Titans when they step out of line, and napping in the Colosseum between kaiju fights. But Gia is seeing visions, and the signals she is feeling are also felt by Godzilla, who begins collecting energy for some as-yet-unknown future fight. Meanwhile, Kong stumbles across others of his species, but these giant apes are under the rule of the evil Scar King, a giant orangutan who wants to conquer the surface world. Dr. Andrews and Gia, along with podcaster Bernie and Titan veterinarian Trapper, have gone down into the Hollow Earth to find the source of the signal. Once there, they discover a secret tribe of Gia's people, the Iwis. The hieroglyphs reveal that the Scar King tried to conquer the surface world once before, but was beaten and imprisoned by Godzilla. However, Scar King found an ancient Titan called Shimo and enslaved it to help him in his new fight. The Iwis are the ones who have been sending the signal in order to bring Godzilla down to the Hollow Earth to defeat Scar King and his army once more. They also have a prophecy that says that a member of the Skull Island Iwi tribe will appear to them and awaken their guardian Mothra, who will help Godzilla defeat Scar King. Kong, beaten in the first fight with Scar King and Shimo, finds refuge in the Iwi home, and Trapper is able to repair Kong's injured hand with a mech arm designed by Monarch. Kong then goes to the surface world to bring Godzilla back, but the two get locked in a battle to the death in Egypt. Luckily, Gia is able to revive Mothra, who rushes to the surface to broker peace between the two titans. Now a team, Godzilla, Kong, and Mothra return to the Hollow Earth to do battle with the Scar King, Shimo, and Scar King's ape army. The Titans are sucked through a portal into Rio de Janeiro, where Godzilla and Kong successfully destroy the crystal Scar King is using to control Shimo. With that done, Shimo freezes Scar King, and Kong smashes him to bits. In the closing scenes, Gia returns home with her adopted mother, Godzilla goes back to the Colosseum to slumber, and Kong returns with Shimo to the Hollow Earth to claim his throne as King of the Giant Apes, as credits roll. Kind of? More or less?
More or less.
Pretty much the whole
movie.
Pretty
much.
So, let's just get started from the beginning. The movie opens... What?
Take it from the top.
Yeah. The movie opens up with Kong in the Hollow Earth. We get this opening action sequence where he's being chased by...
Wolf things.
Hyena things.
Hyena wolf.
Something.
And he's, you know, he's smart. He set up traps to capture these things.
Very, very smart monkey.
Yeah.
And, you know, he runs around and then rips one in half over his head. Very violent.
It's but, green blood, so it doesn't count.
Yeah. But he thinks he hears the call of another Kong, another ape. But it's just this gecko frog thing. And now you can tell he's all sad and all alone. His human friends have left him to go back to the surface world. He hasn't found his family that he was promised. So, yeah, very sad.
He's a sad boy.
Sad, sad boy. Meanwhile, Godzilla is kicking Titan ass on the surface world.
Somebody got to do it.
Somebody got to do it. And in between fights, he's just taking a nice little cat nap in the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it curls up in a little ball.
Little cat curl ball. I think Adam Wingard said that he watched his cat for inspiration on Titan movements in this movie. So,
okay.
Sure, bro.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can tell from the opening 10-minute sequence, this movie's going to be a lot of kaiju
action.
It's
going to be wild.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah.
But, you know, quickly, Gia begins seeing visions. They're detecting...
While in class.
She's going cray-cray. Yeah. Monarch is picking up these strange signals. Kong, like, accidentally opens up a cavern that goes into a subterranean... More subterranean world.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, later in the movie... Sorry. It, like, says, like, subterranean realm. I'm like, already... Subterranean.
Yeah.
Like, how further can you go?
How more Earth? Sub can you go?
Yeah.
If the Earth is hollow, where is this going?
To the hollow.
To the inner hollow.
Hollow.
How big do they think Earth is?
I got one complaint off the top, which I don't blame this movie for this. I blame this that stupid TV show. If you've watched the Monarch TV show, they introduced this idea of time dilation. In the Hollow Earth, like, you know, like in Inception, or not Inception, what's the space movie that he did?
Oh, Interstellar?
Interstellar.
Oh, like when they go to the planet?
They go to the black hole planet or whatever, and, you know, they're on the surface for an hour, and 8 years pass on the spaceship. They do the same thing in that Hollow Earth or in that Monarch TV show where they're like, I don't remember the exact time, but they're like 1 hour. It's like 2 years on the surface world, which was never set up in the prior movies and is totally ignored rightfully in this movie. But continuity there is a bit of an issue, but whatever.
Not important.
Not important. No. But anyway, so yeah.
Maybe it went away.
It went away. Maybe they got some kind of special technology in their
suits. Yeah, like the new technology just doesn't matter now.
Maybe that's just a certain part of the Hollow
Earth. Yeah, it's just that one part.
Yeah, oh, there you go. There you go. Also, in probably because they couldn't afford it, but in the Monarch show, it didn't do that Doctor Strange Inception thing where there's like, you know, folded over on top of itself. So that's also a continuity error, but whatever.
It happens. It's a different part of Hollow Earth.
Yeah. It, right, you're again. Sorry. Anyway, so Dr. Andrews decides that she needs to enlist help from Brian Tyree Henry's character, Bernie. He was from Godzilla vs. Kong and hung out with Millie Bobby Brown. He was the crazy conspiracy theorist podcaster.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's got sponsors.
Now he's got sponsors. I really like Brian Tyree Henry in this movie. I think his comedic timing is really good. I think as a comedic relief character, there's a lot of comedic relief characters, but he works pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
he kind of like his whole like shtick in the movie, though. He like just he's like just a fast talker.
Yeah.
He says everything like super fast and like aggressively, not like like angrily aggressive. Just like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think Rebecca Hall, she's given the job of giving the most straightforward character. Data dumping.
She's mostly exposition. We'll talk about that here in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they try to make her and Gia the kind of the emotional human core with this adopted mother-daughter relationship. I mean, it works fine. I mean, I'll just go and say
it gets the job done.
The human plot in this movie, even more so than Godzilla versus Kong, they're like, they just have a basic framework of a human plot to move the action forward. That's all it's here
just for. We got people saying things and doing certain things just to get us from point A to point B and so on until we get all the way to the end.
I just want
to
know, who did Rebecca Hall piss off in the makeup and hair department? Because they gave her a terrible haircut.
You don't like her short hair?
No, it was awful. Bother me.
It's not terrible.
Oh, I thought it looked awful. It
doesn't bother me.
But anyway, so they decide, well, Kong, he has a little cavity in his tooth or something.
Oh, poor guy. Just infected.
So he comes back up to the surface world to get it worked on.
We meet Trapper.
We meet Dan Stevens, the new addition to the cast. Trapper. He's a Titan veterinarian.
How does one become a Titan veterinarian?
I don't know. You start a movie about Titans, I guess. So they pull the tooth out. So it's a whole big scene. Pull and the tooth out.
Replace it.
Put a fake tooth in. And now Kong's all better. And goes back home. Meanwhile, Godzilla's acting kind of weird. He's on the move. He's going to the Arctic Circle.
Or something.
Well, first he eats up a bunch of radiation, I think, in France.
Yeah, he goes to like some nuclear facility and absorbs a bunch of radiation. And then he ends up going to the Arctic Circle to fight some random
kaiju
or something.
Because that kaiju's domain is like in the portion of the Earth where the solar storms collide with the electromagnetic field or and
something
energy is generated.
And he can absorb it if he shakes out this monster.
Yeah, it's an obvious the creature. We'll get into creature design later. I think it's an obvious reference to Manda. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what was it called? Tadium?
I don't know.
Potadium? Something like that.
Potatoes.
Tanium. Anyway, so he goes and starts soaking up its energy and stuff.
And he's pretty much down for a large section of the movie after that.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, you know, I rewatched Godzilla vs. Kong the other day. Half rewatched it. And there is this movie, just like that movie, is very much a Kong-centric movie. But I actually think this one does better of reminding us every 10 minutes or so that Godzilla is here doing stuff. Whereas that the last movie, there was a long stretch in the middle of that movie where Godzilla was a total no-show. So I think this movie does a better job of at least
reminding you what he's doing.
Reminding us Godzilla is around and about. So I'll give it that, I guess. But
yeah.
Still not a lot of Godzilla.
Still not a whole lot of Godzilla. Because Kong is the creature that they can emote and have human emotions and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And the story arc and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Kong goes back down with Gia.
The whole cast.
The whole crew. The whole cast that matters. Yeah. And they go down there because I guess Bernie has figured out that
it's a distress call.
A distress signal of some sort. Through, I don't know how I figured that out, but he did.
Discord servers.
Discord servers and looking at the patterns of different waves and stuff from different events where the kaiju showed up. He even referenced like King Ghidorah and stuff. Yeah.
He did one of the name drops scenes. And stuff. Yeah, one of the funnier scenes is when Rebecca Hall goes to him the first time and he has that line like I referenced earlier, the go away recording in progress. And then he's like, something like, these online trolls are mean. Ghidorah Stan 49.
Ghidorah Stan 69.
69 is really nasty. and his kind of whole thing is that he has no proof of anything he's experienced. And so everybody thinks he's crazy. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to be validated by someone in authority, I guess. But anyway.
So he takes his camera and everything with him.
Yeah. So they all haul ass down to the Hollow Earth. And their Monarch base has been destroyed on the Hollow Earth. And
they find the video footage.
Yeah. And Kong goes off. And we meet the prime merchandise selling center of this movie, Suko.
Its name is Suko?
Never mentioned in the movie, but his name is with its S, Suko. S-U-K-O.
How do we know this?
The internet.
Interwebs.
How do they know that?
I don't know. That's what they put on the toy box, okay?
Suko.
Suko.
It's never...
Anyway, it's sure. A little baby ape.
Little baby monkey.
He's cute.
Well, baby by Hollow Earth standards.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere that if you look at his, like, official statistics, he's actually bigger than Kong was in the Skull Island movie. But whatever.
Like when he gets to the Earth, spoiler alert for toward the end of the movie, when he gets to like the service world, he's a pretty big monkey.
He's a pretty big monkey. But he's cute.
He's cute.
And
he got big old puppy dog eyes.
But he's vicious. He attacks Kong.
Me.
Because there's a whole group of them. We get a Planet of the Apes fight. That's probably the best scene in the movie where Kong at one point.
He's just beating the crap out of all these monkeys.
He grabs Suko. And starts beating the crap out of the other apes with Suko. It's pretty funny.
And then just chunks him.
Yeah. Chunks him. It's pretty funny.
That monkey's pretty resilient, I would say.
Yeah.
Monkey takes a beating.
Suko takes a beating and keeps on ticking. But anyway, so Suko agrees to take him to his home. And Kong finds their prison, I guess.
Where they've been enslaved.
Where they've been enslaved by the Scar King. Who's a giant orangutan thing. And Scar King...
This is before or after our giant exposition dump?
This is before.
Before.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, this is before.
Yeah.
Scar King has enslaved Shimo, a giant four-legged ice dinosaur thing.
Yeah.
They never...
It's like a triceratops without the horns.
Yeah. They never really spell it out, but he has a crystal... He has a whip. And he has a crystal on the tip of this whip that looks like it probably came off Shimo's back or something.
Or something.
And he somehow uses that to, like, control
him.
Shimo or something.
Poor guy.
I mean, logic in this movie is be damned. But we just roll with it. So, anyway, Kong, he actually beats Scar King in a, you know, hand-to-hand combat fight. But
you know, Scar King's got some other apes pushing a giant rock into the lava pit or whatever.
Yeah.
To free Shimo.
Yeah, he's got it like behind a lava curtain and they can like use a rock to block the molten lava and let him out.
Comes out.
Let her out. Sorry.
Her, sorry. My bad.
Yeah, and Shimo beats Kong and Kong retreats with the help of...
Freezes his hand.
So, I know. He's got frostbitten hand.
Yeah.
And one thing that kind of bothers me, Shimo's powers are not consistent. I mean, the power is consistent at Breeze and Ice Beam, but the power level of the Ice Beam varies greatly from scene to scene. But whatever.
Some of the things she can do is I'm like,
Yeah, like in this scene, like it Kong is deflecting it with the axe, but it still is freezes his hand. And then like later, towards the end of the movie, like sometimes it can like instantly freeze huge monsters and huge chunks of land. And like he shoots it into the atmosphere and creates a giant storm at one point. But then other times, like he's shooting it at Kong and it's like taking forever to do any kind of damage to Kong. So
plot armor.
Plot armor. Yeah, there you go. Plot armor. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Anyway. So anyway, meanwhile, Rebecca Hall and company are traversing across the landscape. They come across an Iwi village.
Ruins.
Yeah. I mean, is it ruins if they still live there?
They don't live there.
They live underground.
They come across ruins and
do some more searching and find a veil.
They find a, well, first they find a carving of the Guardian Mothra. And then, yeah, there's a veil and they go through it.
It's organic material. They can tear through it.
Ooh. And yeah, she finds this whole big hieroglyphic room.
We meet the Iwi tribe. They're not gone.
Yeah, and these hieroglyphs literally spell it out.
Yeah,
you know, like centuries ago, Godzilla, Scar King wanted to take over the surface, and he built an army, and they went to war with Godzilla, and Godzilla was nearly defeated, but in the end, he beat the army back
and sealed them in this prison
lava prison thing. But what?
And then the Titans became like the rulers of the Earth, and like
I think before that fight,
she like mentions that.
Yeah, before that fight, the Titans were the guardians of the Earth, and the apes were the protector of the people.
Of people, yeah.
And then Scar King revolted.
He said, "Nah."
Anyway, but what Godzilla didn't know apparently was where he locked away Scar King was also Shimo. So Scar King took control of Shimo and put this whole plot in motion. And the signal that we heard that they heard earlier was the Iwis sending out a signal to try to draw Godzilla back to fight Scar King.
Or something.
And
it's like literally like a 10-minute scene of Rebecca Hall just like telling us this story.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, that's the whole movie.
That's the whole movie right there. But there's also a prophecy.
There's a prophecy.
That a member of
an Iwi tribe member, yeah, from Skull Island will come and awaken Mothra.
Awaken Mothra. Yeah. You know, Masura. I didn't mention this in the production trivia because I wanted to save it for this segment. I don't know how much of this has been officially confirmed, but according to the Reddit subboards,
we love the people of Reddit.
Oh yeah.
They wrote, filmed, and did visual post-production on this movie with the intention of this being a different kaiju. This was not supposed to be Mothra. This was a new kaiju they were going to call the Divine Kaiju.
The what?
The Divine Kaiju. And then when they took it to test screenings,
people were like, what the F is that?
On all the note cards, apparently, a lot of people wrote, why isn't the flying moth creature just Mothra? And I guess the studio executives were like, I guess that makes sense.
We have an existing character within the IP that's very similar to the one we have. Why don't we just like use that guy?
I mean, I've seen an alleged photo of what the CGI model looked like before they redesigned it. I mean, pretty similar. It's a kind of a quadruped with Mothra wings, basically. And if you notice in the movie, they never film the characters like straight on, like a normal headshot when they say the word Mothra. When they say Mothra, the camera's always facing in another direction. So I think they came in and did some ADR later with the actors to change it to Mothra. But I'll say they did a pretty good job, I think, for the movie being in that advanced of a stage and to make that change and make it not seem too out of place.
Like haphazardly.
Done. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. Why was Mothra on the surface in King of the Monsters, but she's the guardian of this underground? Well, whatever. But
how'd she get there?
And I think she,
because last time we saw Mothra, wasn't she protecting an egg?
Yeah, and I thought in the trailers that protective barrier was like her cocoon, but it's not. It's like they're like in Wakanda, they have the little
shield,
camouflage shield.
Mm-hmm.
This is like an organic version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mothra just kind of,
appears yeah. out of magic.
She like goes up this pyramid steps and reaches her hand out, and Mothra just kind of materializes, which, I mean, I guess she's kind of done that in some of those Rebirth of Mothra movies.
Yeah.
So, sure. Not totally unprecedented.
Yes. Mothra's kind of got I guess we'll talk about it later. Mothra looks a little different this time around.
A little different, yeah. We'll talk about it. Anyway, Kong stumbles into their little abode.
Mm.
He's all hurt. But just so happens that Monarch was building a mech arm to enhance King Kong that they have on site.
Yeah. Nice. It just happens to be there.
So Trapper goes and gets it, puts it on Kong, and he's right as rain.
He good to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He ready.
He's ready to rock. And
they're concerned about whether or not he's going to like it, but then he fist pumps in the air.
Yeah.
And lightning happens.
He's got like an electro charge in it or something.
Or something. Yeah. This is a sort of mechanic Kong.
Oh, we're getting there.
If
this franchise goes long enough, it's coming.
Listen, all I'm saying is we still have not got any answers from what Charles Dance was doing with that freaking Ghidorah head.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Are we going to get a Mecha King Ghidorah?
Maybe.
I mean, they had that Ghidorah head that was controlling Mecha Godzilla.
Isn't that what they used it for?
Well, they never said that was the head that Charles Dance had. It was just a head. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so stuff happens and Kong decides that he's got to go to the surface.
Go to the surface. Gia tells him that we need help.
Yeah, so he's going to go get Godzilla and bring him down. And they fight in Egypt.
Yeah, he gets in the portal.
And they have a good little fight. But
freaking like Kong like suplexes Godzilla at one point in time. I'm like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
The only thing that would have made it better is if it was two guys in giant rubber suits, you know.
Oh yeah.
Wrestling.
Yeah. I think they're trying to channel the Showa era, like peak Showa era.
Put them in a random location have them wrestle.
Yeah, like 60s era, late 60s era, Showa era, Godzilla rubber suited wrestling matches, and they literally do wrestling moves. I mean, the tone of this movie is very silly.
Oh, very.
I mean, very silly. But to their credit, they keep it consistent. And yeah, but at the end of the day, Godzilla gets him pinned down and is about to blow his head off. And then Mothra shows up. And just like in Hedra, the three-headed monster, she brokers a peace deal between them. Well, more like Godzilla just does whatever she says.
Yeah. Because
apparently he is beholden to Mothra.
She's the queen of the monsters.
She's the queen. He's the king. I don't know. But anyway, I will say, Godzilla, that energy he got from that snake.
Makes him pink now.
Creature. He's pink now. Mm. Or pink on his dorsal fins, and he glows pink with his heat ray and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about design later, but he's a bit of a redesign. He's sleeker and meaner. But
my boy leaps off a freaking like cliff and it's in slow-mo.
Yeah.
And then dives like perfect for him, dives into the water. Like,
yeah.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's beautiful. They go to the Hollow
Earth. Go to Hollow Earth. And Scar King has showed up at this point in time.
And big battle ensues. All kinds of kaiju.
You forget, Brian Tyree Henry has somehow miraculously found out how to communicate with the people that don't speak a word of English.
Yes.
And found out that they're going to take the two pyramids.
Yeah.
And they're going to collide them together.
Yeah.
And it's going to create a zero gravity situation for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then after that, everything's going to collapse.
Yes.
So yeah, so they're doing that.
Like Inception, fight scene.
Let's see.
Gravity free.
Zero gravity.
They duke it out for a while, and then
gravity comes back.
Four of them get sucked into the Godzilla and Kong and Shimo and...
It's a 2v2.
And,
Shimo and Scar.
Scar King get sucked into the portal into Rio de Janeiro, where a big battle ensues and Godzilla fights Shimo and Scar King and Kong fight, and they mix it up and all this. But finally, Godzilla just gets tired of it and breaks Scar King's whip thing with the crystal. And then they all chase around this crystal for a little bit.
And then Zuko shows up. Kong lost his axe in the portal.
And Zuko brings the axe back and he picks it up and breaks the crystal.
He sure does.
Makes a big explosion.
Now Shimo free.
And or something.
What was the Sea World orca?
Shimu. Shimu the killer whale.
Anyway, off subject. Now Shimo's like, I hate this guy. And he freezes Scar King. And
yeah, Kong like just got him and like choking him, like holding him up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say Scar King is, I don't know, as a villain, you know, as he's power level wise, he's pretty weak. He's easily defeated by, like, in just a straight hand-to-hand combat, he's pretty easily defeated by Kong. The only thing that makes him threatening really is the fact that he controls Shimo. So not that threatening of the villain, but
I mean, to be honest, he's not in the movie a tremendous amount. He's got the one fight scene.
No, he doesn't even show up until about halfway through.
Yeah, he's got the one fight scene with Kong early, and then this fight, it's relatively short. I mean, I checked my watch when it kind of all started going down, and there was about maybe 15 or 20 minutes left in the movie. Maybe.
I mean, I think it's about a 20-minute final duke out here. But yeah, in terms of just screen time, straight screen time for Scar King, he doesn't have a whole lot. But anyway, I will have to say millions of people die in Rio de Janeiro. I mean, where Godzilla is chasing Scar King around with his heat beam, I'm pretty sure he levels the entire city. Kills everyone.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then they win.
They freeze him and then Kong smashes him to bits.
Shimo's their friend now. Godzilla disperses the storm that Shimo created.
And then he goes to nap.
And then, the ending of the movie, the human drama is that Rebecca Black's character.
Rebecca Black?
Rebecca Hall.
It's Friday.
No. I was calling her, what's the chick from Dune?
Rebecca Ferguson.
I was calling her Rebecca Ferguson earlier. But anyway.
Rebecca Hall, anyway.
Rebecca
her,
Hall.
Her and her character and her adoptive daughter, Gia. Gia doesn't feel like she belongs anywhere. Yeah. And so their whole thing, like toward the beginning of the movie, that they belong together.
Yeah, and Dr. Andrews has convinced herself that Gia's going to stay behind with these natives and be with her people. But then Gia's like, no,
my home is with you.
I mean, it's fine. It's not the worst character arc I've ever seen. It's definitely not anything special, but whatever. It works.
It gets the job done.
Yeah. It gets the job done. And are her and Dan Stevens going to be an item? Apparently they were an item in college, according to the dialogue.
Oh, yes.
So I like Dan Stevens in this movie. He's also kind of funny.
Where have I seen him before?
Dan Stevens is probably most famous for Downton Abbey.
Ah.
He was also in another Adam Wingard movie, You're Next, which was really good. Probably Adam Wingard's best movie. Yeah, he's been around. Yeah. We actually reviewed him. Week before last, he was one of the voices in the Sea Beast.
Okay.
He was. Yeah,
so he's been around.
He gets around.
He's a known actor. I think part of the reason that this budget was reasonable is because they've got known actors like Dan Stevens, Tyree Henry, and Rebecca Hall, but these people aren't bringing A-tier, money. They're not charging A-tier money.
I mean, it's not like the last movie. I mean, you don't have someone like Millie Bobby Brown who's taken up probably a large portion of your budget because she's a huge name by that point. Like when she was in Godzilla Godzilla King of the Monsters, I mean, like Stranger Things was pretty big, but she wasn't quite as big yet.
Yeah.
It was like right at the height of, I guess, that third season had just come out right around that time.
Yeah.
So it was, it was big.
Yeah. And they had Andrew Skarsgård. Is it Andrew Skarsgård? Whatever.
One of the Skarsgårds.
Yeah, and I'm sure he demanded a pretty penny. And they also had
Kyle Chandler
for briefly. But we cut those people out. We don't need those people anymore.
No.
Anyway. So, yeah, that is the conclusion of the movie, basically. I mean, listen, like I said, it's basically a two-hour CGI monster rumble with occasional human moments interspersed throughout.
Pretty much. And it knows what it is.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, this is a harmless popcorn flick.
Listen, Adam Wingard has figured out the formula for what the MonsterVerse should have been all along.
Yeah.
When the MonsterVerse started, it tried to take itself a little too seriously, I think.
Yeah.
It didn't realize that. I mean, it's a giant lizard and a giant monkey. Like, just let them have fun.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Gareth Edwards tried to take a serious approach. And again, Minus One proved recently that Godzilla in a standalone film can be a serious film. But yeah, once you start bringing in Mothra and Rodan and Ghidorah and Kong,
like when King of the Monsters came out,
yeah.
The route that they should have taken was this route. It shouldn't, because King of the Monsters again tried to take itself a little too seriously. Wait, it was still trying to keep that same tone. Like the first 2014 Godzilla, like you said, I mean, like what it tried to accomplish, whether or not it succeeded, is a good tone for that movie.
Yeah.
The tone for Skull Island is a good tone for that movie.
It's
a little sillier, though, obviously, than Godzilla. But we come to King of the Monsters, and it's like still trying to keep almost that a little too self-serious tone. Like, this is art.
I think King of the Monsters got caught up trying to be serious, like Gareth Edwards' movie, but also introducing a sillier element that John Voight Roberts introduced in his King Kong movie. And I think the mismatch is where that film struggles a lot of the struggles of that film. But like you said, Wingard,
he knows what this is.
He got the mix. And the mix is disperse of all the serious stuff. Mm-hmm. Get it out of here. We don't need it.
Have your humans be serviceable enough that you care about them enough to get, that you want them to get through this situation and survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have enough dialogue and exposition to progress the plot forward to the next giant monster fight. That's what these movies need to be.
Yeah, that's all you need out of the humans. If you can't do them well, just do the bare minimum and move on. And I think this movie, again, knows what it is. I think it's has the appropriate tone.
The question is, though, do you think there's room for both? Would you prefer... would you prefer having one or the other? Would you prefer having the more serious take on a kaiju story like Minus One? Do you prefer the sillier take, or do you think that there should be a good balance of both?
I mean, I can take either. I mean, my favorite movies tend to be serious movies. I mean, even in the Godzilla franchise, at least, you know, I've talked about my top three, which are, you know, Mothraverse, I mean, my top three are separated by razor-thin margins, but I would put Mothraverse vs. Godzilla, the original Mothraverse vs. Godzilla, which is a sillier movie. It's not super serious. But then my other two would be Godzilla, the original Godzilla, followed by Minus One. So two of my top three are very serious, dark movies. But those are also films where they're solo Godzilla films. I don't think... If you want to have these giant kaiju crossovers, you just can't do that kind of movie and take it serious. You can't have giant monkey fight giant lizard and it be serious. It just can't happen.
No.
It just can't happen. So if you're going to have these... I mean, if you want to really expand the MonsterVerse and start doing more kaiju solo films, like a solo Mothra movie, solo Kong movie again, solo Godzilla, then you can kind of experiment with tone, maybe. But no, if we're going to do these giant kaiju mashups, I think it should stick to the silly.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, do we want to move on to creature design?
Yeah, let's move on to creature design.
We have plenty to talk about.
Or
plenty.
Effects.
We do creature design, effects, and then score.
Score, okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Let's start with the minor ones. We have hyenas, monster, wolf, things, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look like the weird alien dog cat creature thing from the Eternals. You remember that? No?
Kind of. Vaguely. It, I don't know. Now, the whole scene just kind of reminded me of Lion King when the hyenas chasing the lions around. But then we have Kong fights a snake thing at one point. It's like a sea dragon thing.
It's a sea snake dragon.
Sea snake dragon.
It's got like a traditional Japanese kind of dragon head almost.
Yeah.
But if it was a koi fish and a snake.
Godzilla fights the Chinese dragon sea thing that I said was a reference to Manda.
Yeah.
Basically a souped up Manda with pink highlights because that's what Godzilla absorbs.
Godzilla starts out his first fight with a weird long-legged crab squid face thing.
Yeah, that's right.
It's interesting.
And there's those electric.
It's supposed to be a reference to the sea monster, Ghidorah?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Is it that Ghidorah? Ghidorah. Horror of the Deep. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
Ghidorah's the smog monster.
Yeah.
It all runs together.
I understand. I forgive you. Yeah, we got the flying electric bird things.
Thingy.
Birds.
Yeah.
They're kind of yellow and
they brown. Come back.
They come back.
They come back later.
They come back later.
Mm-hmm.
He flies a herd of them. Trapper leads a herd of them into the fight and
yes, he does.
Shocks some people.
He sure does. Suko.
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 He's got kind of orange, almost. I don't know if he's a baby orangutan.
He looks like a baby chimp to me.
Maybe, yeah.
But orange. Like an orangutan.
Yeah.
He's got giant puppy dog eyes.
Mm-hmm. They're green.
He's
kind of cute.
He's cute.
There's a bunch of apes. A lot of them look pretty rough and beaten. I guess because they're slave apes.
They mostly just look like gorillas, though. Primates, your big apes.
Most of them are smaller than Kong are.
Yeah, they're all
Kong's,
smaller than
I think the biggest.
Probably because they're malnourished.
Yeah.
Kong's a big strong
I don't
boy.
Think Scar King is feeding them very well.
No.
Yeah. Is there any, but try the major ones. Is there any other kaiju?
Scar King?
We see the bat, flying bad things briefly from the Godzilla vs. Kong movie.
Mm-hmm.
We see the lizard thing briefly from the previous movie. He tries to steal some food from Kong. I think that's about it. Anyway, so yeah, let's get into the big ones. Scar King.
He's a giant orangutan.
He's got a rough look. He's got scars. Scars. Did Godzilla give him those scars?
Probably.
Scars on his chest. He's got purple eyes, I think.
Something like that.
Very lanky, long limbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got a whip made out of the spine.
He also is very emotive, if that's a word. Is that emotive?
Very angry.
He's kind of he's super cocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a really cocky vibe. Kong shows up and he kind of struts up to him. What's up, bro?
Yeah. And he's got this whip made of the spine of a creature. Monster.
Yeah.
And he uses it until it gets broken.
We got
Shimo.
Shimo.
It's a four-legged, ice dinosaur, triceratop kind of looking thing without the big giant head ridge. Thing. It's got ice spikes coming out of its back.
You know what it really more is, I think?
What?
I don't know. Is it a bronchiosaurus? Is that what it is?
Bronchiosaurus has the long necks.
It's a brachiosaurus, I thought.
The one with the spiky tail, you think about that?
I don't know.
The stegosaurus?
No, not a stegosaurus. Maybe. I don't know.
I think
ankylosaurus?
The one with the big ball and spikes on the end.
Describe it to me.
I don't know. It's a dinosaur.
There's the ankylosaurus, which is the Anguirus looking thing. And then there's the stegosaurus, which is the ones with the giant plates on its back that attacked, what's her face, in the second Jurassic Park movie towards the beginning. Not Susan Sarandon. The other one. Anyway.
I don't know. Who cares? Giant four-legged. It's a giant. It's a giant four-legged ice dinosaur.
Dinosaur thing.
Yeah.
Kind of blue gray in color.
Yeah. And it shoots an ice beam.
It's about.
It's got crystals coming out of its back. It's kind of cool.
About 1.5 times the size of Godzilla, maybe. Something like that. Scar King rides into battle. And then we have Kong.
He's a little tattered up from his fight with Godzilla in the last movie. He's got scars across his chest. And
yeah.
He looks a bit more gray.
He's definitely getting old.
Yeah.
He's getting up there in years. How old was he supposed to be in Skull Island? He's still pretty young.
He's still pretty young, they say. And then, of course, that's 50 years before GPK. And this is another few years.
So he's getting a little old.
He's getting a little up there in age. And then Godzilla, I think, undergoes the most radical, mid-movie.
He, like, slims down a little.
He starts out as your typical MonsterVerse design. And then when he goes through his, they definitely slim him way down, much more slim and trim, aerodynamic. And
like I said, I mean, he leaps off that freaking cliff into that water with perfect forms.
His
life.
His dorsal plates also reform, and they're pink, but they're also a kind of a different shape, more of a uniform shape, I think. And I think in some shots, you can kind of see, like, I don't know if it's like his veins running through them or.
Yeah, whatever. I kind of noticed that. It's kind of interesting.
Kind of weird.
Almost. What do you think about the pink color?
It's not as bad in movie as I feared. It was like I thought that he was just going to be constantly glowing pink based on those trailers. He's not constantly glowing pink. No. There's always kind of that pale pink color to his dorsal plates and stuff. I mean, it's okay. It doesn't,
doesn't bother you?
Bother me one way or the other, really. Yeah. I like the fact that they slim him down. Although at times, I don't know if I always love his movements. They try at times to really make him animalistic, and he crawls on all fours, and like you said, like dives in like a fish, and does stuff like that. But one thing I found interesting, I don't know if you noticed, especially after, like, his roars has always been kind of changing. Like in, I was rewatching them. Of course, they kind of came up with their own roar in the 2014 movie, which has stuck with it more or less. And then in 2019, because Michael Dougherty was such a Godzilla geek, he mixed in a lot of, like, classic roars with the new roar. And in this movie, there's the classic roars, the new roar, and then even after he has his evolution, they start mixing in the 98 roar. I don't know if you heard that or not.
I haven't seen that movie, but the one time I think we watched it for the
podcast. It's a very distinct, and they definitely mix it in, and I was kind of surprised at that, but whatever. But anyway, it's fine. It works. Whatever. So anyway, I think we covered all the creatures.
Yeah.
Overall.
Not bad.
Oh, Mothra.
Mothra. He's back.
How could we forget?
He's less blue this time around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
he's gold.
Browns and golds mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks blue. More like a moth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More moth.
More hairy.
More hairy.
Yeah.
He's got a. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. The body of Mothra kind of looks like a. It's kind of humanoid, but like with a. Pokey legs.
Yeah. Well, last time I said she kind of looked like a praying mantis with wings, moth wings. Maybe, she looks a little more, I don't know, maybe humanoid is the word for it. It's a little odd.
It's a little odd looking.
They don't show, maybe she has it, they just didn't show it. But, last time she had a stinger that she used. She doesn't use it in this one. She still spits web, even though she's an adult moth, but whatever.
Whatever.
But she glows very brightly. Seems to have the ability to.
She got like gold dust that flies off her when she flaps her wings too.
Yeah, she's very divine. She's the divine.
She's majestic.
She even repairs their barrier at the end.
Oh, yeah.
She's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Gia, we didn't really hammer this home how funny and ridiculous this whole bit was, but Gia's like a solo Mothra fairy.
And like
telepathically communicates with Mothra. And
I was really expecting you mentioned it like when the. They were like really hiding like the tribe leader's, like the female tribe leader's face or whatever. When she first walks out, you're like, she's a twin.
I thought for sure because they were hiding her. I was like,
yeah, they were like hiding her face. They didn't show her face literally until Gia walks up.
But she was just some random native woman.
Yeah.
So I was like,
I told Dylan
missed opportunity
before the movie. I was like, What are the odds of Gia singing the Mothra song for This Is Out? Not, they couldn't, didn't
we'll,
quite go
we'll
that
sign
far.
It.
They didn't quite go that far, but
over under? Why?
I bet if they would have filmed this movie with the intention of it being Mothra, I bet the natives would have did a little song and dance.
They don't speak though.
None of the natives speak.
They speak telepathically.
They would have spoke for Mothra. They had instruments or something. I don't know. But anyway. Yeah, but Mothra's fine. That's it. Effects. I mean, mostly CGI.
Pretty much the whole movie.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, it's good. There are a couple scenes that look kind of wonky. I think the scene where he rips the coyote thing or whatever in half and there's drenched in green blood.
Something looked off about that.
It didn't look quite rendered or something.
But for the most part, I mean, most of the major action, all the fights,
yeah,
all the showdowns for $135 million.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good. I think comparatively,
from what we've seen the last few years, especially from some of these astronomically budgeted movies, the MCU being $250 plus million movies, The Flash costing like $300 million, something like that, by the time it's all awful. Said and done. The CGI in these movies has been looking pretty rough.
Yeah.
Now, granted, apparently it's because these workers are underpaid and overworked and working strenuous hours and harsh deadlines, so maybe that has something to do with it. When it's crazy if you just let people do their job.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. For $135 million, it looks good.
Pretty solid.
Looks really solid. Which, you know, I'd say that maybe some of the reason for that, they finished filming in November of 2022.
Plenty of time to work on.
So they gave the artists plenty of time to get the work orders in and pump these scenes out. So that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks good. No complaints, really.
No, I mean, I can't really complain. Honestly, that's not really necessarily an effect. The colors of the movie, we're kind of continuing with that theme of the last movie. Like, the last movie was orangish and bluish, right? This one's a lot of pinks and blues and greens.
Yeah.
We're getting more and more like neon colors.
Yeah.
Kind of like it.
It kind of adds to the
silly nature of the movies. I mean, like, we're getting these super bright colors with these giant monsters.
They tell you,
so,
in the opening logos, what the palette is, because there's like a logo in blue, a logo in brown, and a logo in green.
They're all neon colors.
All like almost neon color. But yeah, I mean, it's a bright and colorful movie. I don't get any complaints. And, you know, I always prefer measured use of CGI, like Minus One, where it's a lot of practical stuff, and then you have a CGI Godzilla show up once or twice in the movie compared to these Marvel, MonsterVerse, DC, CGI, blah, fest. But if you're going to do it, you know, this looks pretty good.
Looks pretty solid.
Not bad at all.
Maybe they saved some money, too, by not having to build any practical sets, because I think they filmed them with this whole movie in a green room.
Yeah. I mean, also, not really an effect either, but it's shot pretty well. I mean, the fights, a lot of spots of the fights that are pretty wide shots. Yeah. We're getting to see the monsters kind of go at it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Lots of destruction.
Wingard has, I mean, every movie I've seen of his looks really good. And this is no exception. He knows how to work
even
a camera.
Even Death Note?
Even Death Note. Like, in terms of cinematography, I didn't have any real problems with Death Note in that sense. The story.
Everything
was
else.
Awful. And the makeup job on Willem Dafoe was pretty good, but
fair enough. But overall, looks pretty decent.
Looks pretty good.
Not bad at all. No real complaints.
And then score. I listened to the entire score, as I said last episode, before the movie came out. It's just a very generic blockbuster score.
I couldn't mention one memorable piece of music.
No.
The score, I mean, the Godzilla and Mothra themes sound like AI copyright-free versions of their respective normal character themes. Like, the Godzilla theme is the same one he used for his last movie, which sounds like every other note of a Fugabe's theme. And then the Mothra theme, when it shows up, it's like the first three notes of the normal Mothra theme, and then it goes off into something else. But most of all, just mostly very generic blockbuster score.
I have a feeling that Tom Hulkenberg probably didn't do as much work on this as we think.
I think he brought on an apprentice or whatever you want to call him, that Antonio DeLorio or whatever, probably did most of the work.
Which I'm not blaming him for, per se. I mean, because I've seen Tom Holkenberg has done pretty... I mean, he's got some decent scores out there. I like some of his music.
He's got some okay stuff.
He's got some okay pieces of music and spots in certain movies.
Yeah.
Like...
I mean, his Kong theme that he created for the last movie is decent. I don't have a problem with that.
I really like his At the Speed of Force piece from Zack Snyder's Justice League. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of his work as Junkie XL, like when he did the Wonder Woman theme. Don't like it.
You don't like... Well, I think Zimmer actually wrote the Wonder Woman theme. I actually don't mind the Wonder Woman theme.
I'm not a huge fan of the Wonder Woman theme. Not a huge fan of it.
But the soundtrack is pretty sick. Not gonna lie. We got a perfect use of Twilight Zone when they're going into the Hollow Earth. There's some Kiss in there at some point.
Yeah.
There's a couple other songs. It's pretty sick.
It's like all 70s and 80s classic rock music just randomly playing. And it's always coming from Trapper.
Yeah, Trapper. He loves it.
He loves good, music. Good.
He's got an old fashioned boombox.
Yeah,
he's rocking.
Mm-hmm.
He uses it.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I like that part of the movie. So, props for that, I guess.
Yes.
But you know what time it is?
Time for final thoughts.
Time for final thoughts. Oh. Andrew.
Well.
Let's get into it.
Deep hole in the ground.
All right.
It's not a bad movie per se. You know, it's what you expect from this point in the MonsterVerse. It's goofy and it doesn't have much human plot, and it's just a lot of big creatures punching each other senselessly.
Mm-hmm. Did you expect anything different?
No, I did not. Not at this point. And you know, the score is just there. It does its job mostly. And, you know, the acting, it's there. It drives the plot just good enough to get it from point A to point B. And, you know, the effects in this movie are not terrible as you might think they would be compared to the last few movies, which were not as good as effects. And, you know, I think I'll give this movie, I'll give it a B.
All right. Dylan, what do you think?
It's exactly what I expected.
Yep.
It's exactly what I expected.
I had the whole thing mapped out in my head.
I expected... It was kind of like what we thought in the last movie. Like, the whole tagline, one will win.
Yeah.
And until the other gets back up and they help him fight the next big bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of like similar. Like... Obviously, they're not like the whole setup is it that they're going to fight in this movie, but I don't know where I'm trying to go with it. But what am I trying to say?
There's no surprises.
There's no surprises. Like, exactly. Yeah. So it's exactly what I expected when I was walking in, that there was going to be some sort of beef between Godzilla and Kong still. Because, you know, they have the line in the trailer, which is actually never in the movie, that they don't have to like each other. They just have to work together. Not in the movie.
Did they not say that?
I never heard it.
No, they did not.
Oh, okay. I never heard it. And that's accurate. Because essentially the entire plot is, if you want to call it a plot, it's just to progress the movie to a point where Godzilla and Kong can team up to beat a big bad.
Yeah.
So we can see them together again. And there's monster action that ensues throughout the whole time. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get mad at giant CGI monsters tearing it up. Sorry. Excuse my language.
I'll bleep it out.
Fair enough. It's just it's fun. I don't expect much out of the human characters at this point in the MonsterVerse. Like we've said, they're serviceable enough, and they're written well enough to make you care enough about them that you want them to see. You want to see them, you know, get through this situation and survive, and you know, get them and then you know, they have enough dialogue and exposition scenes, like I said, that help progress the plot to the next giant monster battle. And that's what they're here for. I expect nothing less. For $135 million, I think the movie looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
I've seen, like I said, movies with way bigger budgets that look god awful. So kudos to Adam Wingard's teams that he hired to handle his visual effects and the visual effects supervisor on the movie. Good job. The new creatures look cool. Scar's cool. The Shimu or whatever. Shimo.
Shimo.
Shimo. My bad. Shimo. Shimo. Cool ice dinosaur. I kind of like it. It's got like crystals coming out of its back, things like that. It's pretty neat. And then you got your cute little Suko guy. He's a little big ape. But outside of that, I mean it's a good, serviceable, you know, way to pass 2 hours. I mean, I could have thought of a lot worse things to do with my time today. I enjoyed it. I think if, like I said earlier, if you're a fan of these movies, watch them. If you like Godzilla, watch it. If you like Kong, watch it. If you're just a fan of action movies and want to see something fun and entertaining, it's worth a watch. I'll give it a B. It's fair.
Yeah, yes. I'm riding on the same wavelength as you guys. Listen, I went in with the understanding that I can't compare this movie to Minus One, because if I did it like a checklist, Minus One would beat it all the way down.
All the way to the end.
Questions asked. So I went in with the mindset, can this movie just be an entertaining kaiju fight for 2 hours? And that's exactly what it is. You never go more than 10 minutes without kaiju action. There is just so much screen time devoted to these monsters beating the crap out of each other. And, you know, the human plot at no point becomes insufferable or annoying.
Which it has been in the past.
The characters, the actors play it just right. They know what kind of movie they're in. They play it right. The tone is right. The director keeps the movie focused on that tone and it just moves it forward. You know, it is what it is. It's a 2-hour popcorn blockbuster flick in which, you know, just like I always said about those Transformers movies, if you want to go watch robots beat the crap out of each other for 2.5 hours, you'll enjoy a Transformers movie. If you want to watch these Titans beat the crap out of each other for 2 hours, you'll enjoy this movie. It works for what it is. You know, I don't mind the MonsterVerse if it stays in this lane where it's just kind of goofy, fun movies with monsters beating the crap out of each other.
With reasonable budgets.
With what?
With reasonable budgets.
Reasonable budgets. You know, it's not the more recent superhero ventures we've had or Star Wars ventures we've had, which are just offensively bad.
Or blatant rehashes of something we've already seen before.
Yeah. These movies are just fun little kaiju adventures. And I'm going to meet them on that level. I'm not going to judge them for anything, not being anything more. And I'm right there with you guys. I think this movie is a solid B on that level. So, yeah. Just keep making them, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to stay in this lane, I mean, it's nothing's offensive about it. I mean, I think, like you said, this is the right lane for them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Adam Wingard doesn't come back after whatever his next movie is, because it'll happen.
Yeah.
If they continue the MonsterVerse, you know, the legendary MonsterVerse, I mean, as long as you find someone that's willing to stay in that lane and they know what movie they're making, because that's the point that we've got to. Adam Wingard was hired and he knows what movie he's making.
Yeah.
He knows he's not trying to win any awards. He's not going out here trying to, you know, wow you with character development or character or stories. He's making a movie that's supposed to entertain your audience for 2 hours.
Just senseless fun.
And there you go. Some people have an issue with that. Some people want substance to their movies. I think that there's definitely room for movies without great substance to just enjoy and watch.
Not every blockbuster has to be Dune Part 2. Okay. Now then again, every blockbuster should be a little better than, say, Madam Web or Aquaman 2 or The Last Jedi. Or something, you know, or not Rise of Last Jedi is bad too, but especially Rise of Skywalker, which this is better. I mean, I didn't suffer through Madam Web or Aquaman,
I did,
but I'm sorry, I imagine it's better than those, But anyway, so let's talk about real quick the future of the MonsterVerse. We've kind of talked about it. Wingard has said he wants to come back to complete a trilogy, there's no real sense of where there are rumors unsubstantiated that at some point they want to bring in Space Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
There have been rumors in the past, which I kind of hope are true, that at some point they want to bring in Destoroyah, or they could just go the original route and bring in more original bad guys. Do you have any kind of sense of where the MonsterVerse goes from here? Now, there is, as we've talked about before, a rumored season 2 of Monarch, which will probably be the next project we get. I don't know exactly where they'll go with that either and how they'll reconcile some of the continuity issues they've created for themselves. But any kind of sense of where it might go?
It depends on how far we're going to continue the MonsterVerse after that point.
Yeah.
I'd
say, as long as it makes money.
As long as it makes money.
Or if they're at the MCU, long past.
And so you completely burn out your audience. If we're going to make this a whole trilogy of films, mm-hmm. I kind of want it to have some sort of contained story within its trilogy.
Yeah.
So we've got to bring back some sort of aspect that started in the first movie. And
Rebecca Hall and Gia.
And Gia have got to be back. Probably go ahead and bring back Brian Tyree Henry just because he's fun.
Yeah.
But we've got to bring back elements from the first and this second movie to kind of wrap up his trilogy. Honestly, I mean, I wouldn't be mad about some sort of, I know we've kind of already seen it, but let's just have Godzilla and Kong. They've kind of reconciled their differences at this point after this whole fight. And maybe it's just them going on a worldwide rampage, just taking out monsters together.
Godzilla and Kong. Final Wars.
Or maybe we bring back some sort of mech monster again. We do maybe like a Mechagodzilla again, or maybe we bring in a, let's go balls to the wall, that shit crazy, and we get a Mechani Kong.
Let's do Mechagodzilla, Mechani Kong, and Mecha King Ghidorah team up to fight Godzilla and Kong and Mothra.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'll watch it.
We've never had Mecha Mothra. We need to make it happen.
I don't want that. You know? I don't want that. I don't want that. We don't need that. That's too far. But, yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, we've kind of progressed Godzilla and Kong to this point, like I said, where they started out mortal enemies in GVK. In this one, they are on the path to maybe reconciling the differences, and maybe we can just have them be frenemies in the next one. Maybe they don't necessarily like each other a whole lot, but they definitely are cool working together from time to time, and they just go on a rampage and take out some monsters and have a good time. I mean, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind, like I said, if there was a Toho Kaiju that was number one on my list that they haven't brought back yet that I would like to see a Hollywood reimagining of, it would be Destoroyah.
That'd be cool.
Space Godzilla, I mean, he was in a bad movie, but you know, if we're on this silly vibe anyway, someone could do some neat redesigns for Space Godzilla.
No, I think that might be jumping the shark a little for me.
Dylan, they have a hollow Earth where they reverse Inception style gravity. And
yeah, you're talking about bringing a freaking other giant lizard from space.
It's some Monarch space experiment where they took some Godzilla DNA into space, did some experiment on it. Went terribly wrong, and it turned into Space Godzilla.
Hear me out. Where's Gigan?
We need Gigan.
Gigan and
listen, Destroy. There's
a whole rogues gallery. Of villains we could do here.
Let's just continue the MonsterVerse until we get to a point where literally we have Godzilla and Kong and Mothra team up and fight the entire kaiju verse.
There you go.
It's just every single monster that you've ever seen in a Godzilla movie, they just fight them all.
They do.
So like Final Wars.
sort of.
Better.
But even more.
Oh.
Every monster.
Yeah, they could do that. You know, they could, in theory, I don't know if this is financially viable, and I don't want them to dilute it too much like they have Star Wars and MCU. You could start breaking out and doing more solo movies, like I said, like a Mothra solo movie or another Kong or another Godzilla.
Do you think a standard general American audience is ready for a solo Mothra movie, though? Is that sustainable or feasible?
I think with a good marketing campaign, anything is sellable. Now, with the average marketing campaign, probably not.
I really, as cool as it would be to maybe see a solo Mothra movie, really, I think your only two characters at this point in time, at this point in the MonsterVerse, that can support their own solo movie would be another solo Godzilla or a solo Kong movie.
You could give everybody Apple TV series, a solo Mothra Apple TV series.
That'd be fine.
And they could have a whole
plot. Because it doesn't have to cost $200 million and make a large budget back in theaters.
But the problem with that is, like, I mean, we talked about this in our Monarch review. They just don't have the budget. Godzilla, I think, somewhat totaled up at like 4 minutes and 52 seconds of screen time in 10 episodes of Monarch. Now, of course, there were other kaiju, but there was just, there's not a whole lot of kaiju because they just don't have the money for it on Apple TV, even though Apple shells out a lot of money for those TV.
They're busy shelling out $200 million to Martin Scorsese to make 3.5-hour movies.
Yeah, screw off Scorsese.
Or $250 million to Ridley Scott to make Napoleon.
And flop. I don't know if it flopped.
Twice.
But
twice. Neither one of those movies made their money back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one of them won, or nominated for a lot of Oscars.
True statement.
That's all that matters. I'm getting way off track. Anyway.
Off track, sorry.
Let's rank the MonsterVerse. Re-rank the MonsterVerse.
Re-rank.
Andrew, 5 movies with this movie in there now. Where would you put it?
Ooh, that's rough right there. I would probably go...
Worst to best.
Worst to best. Oh, what is there? There's
2014 Godzilla. King of the Monsters.
King of the Monsters.
GVK.
GVK. Oh, Skull Island. Skull Island, GVK. In this one.
Yeah.
Worst one, probably King of the Monsters. And then 2014. And then GVK, this one, and Skull Island.
I could roll with that. What do you think?
On a pure entertainment standpoint, I'd rank these two separate ways. A pure entertainment standpoint and the quality of the movie overall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pure entertainment. Worst to best, I think both ways. It would be Godzilla versus or Godzilla King of the Monsters at the bottom.
Yeah.
It would be a toss-up. No, not really. I'd probably 2014 Godzilla would be after that, above it. This one, Skull Island, and GVK is just, it's wild. It's a good time. That'd probably be pure entertainment. That'd probably be my number one.
So what are we? Quality.
Quality-wise, I would flip it around a little bit. I still think that King of the Monsters would be last.
Yeah.
After that, I'd probably would say this one.
Yeah.
And then the 2014 Godzilla, still think GVK. It's pretty entertaining and also it's pretty well made for what it is.
Yeah.
And then Skull Island is arguably the best complete movie, I would probably say.
Yeah, again, I could roll with it. I mean, I'll just do it as one list. As someone who's done a recent half rewatch, I would stick. I think we all agree towards the bottom. King of the Monsters, you know, it's actually become a heated, like, taboo to bash King of the Monsters in the fandom online, apparently.
Why?
People have turned around and decided they love that movie for whatever reason.
I will say, it's not a terrible movie.
I mean, I don't hate it. I gave it like a B- or something when we reviewed it way back in the day. I might have been a little kind, but I mean, when the monsters are on screen, it's fun, just like any of these movies. But I did a rewatch, and when the monsters are not on the screen, that movie's bad.
it's the one movie, I think it is definitely the movie in the MonsterVerse so far where we made the comment earlier where the human plot is almost insufferable. It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. I'd put that bottom 2014 because after the first 30 minutes, the human plot is also bad. And the movie missed a big opportunity by not making Godzilla the central focus of that movie. Then I'd probably put this one because, again, it's just a fun two-hour rumble. I would put GVK just above it because I think it's a little more novel with bringing Godzilla and Kong together for the first time in 60 years, whatever it is.
Something like that.
You know, I think it maybe just a little bit more of a traditionally structured film. And then I would still strongly, relatively stand by. I think Skull Island, having rewatched it, is the best of the bunch. Just in terms of a human cast, it has a great supporting cast. Even though the two leads are not any good. Great supporting cast.
Solid supporting cast. It's got a pretty decent story.
Solid period piece. Pretty solid story. It's before it got too whacked out with the Hollow Earth stuff. And yeah, I just really love the tone and the kind of this 70s era war movie, you know, vibe to it. And
right.
And I think it looks really good. And I'll still stand by as the best movie in the MonsterVerse so far. And then if you want me to throw in the other two MonsterVerse projects, Monarch would be at the bottom easily. And then that Skull Island anime would, I don't know, probably be above King of the Monsters, between King of the Monsters and Godzilla 2014, somewhere in there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Not bad.
So I think that concludes our discussion on this movie. I don't have any real news to talk about. I covered the schedule updates last episode. I'll just remind you that for the month of April, we're going to do a couple of big ones. Starship Troopers next week.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
We're only doing the first one. Then we're going to do the first Anaconda. And then the Giant Claw at some point. So anyway, next 2 weeks, Starship Troopers, Anaconda. Dylan, if you want to watch him fall into the podcast, you're welcome, of course.
Starship Troopers is a wild ride.
It is a wild ride.
Paul Verhoeven. What a man.
But Dylan, I don't know what the next theatrical movie we'll recover is. Of course, you can come join us any week you want. But I know new release-wise, we're going to do the Netflix animated Ultraman movie coming out in June.
There is some Shin something or the other coming out soon, right?
Oh, that I know.
Wasn't there a Shin something or the other?
There's a anime, Kaiju number 8, coming out, which you are going to cover. We will cover once the whole thing runs its course. We're still waiting to know when the Ultraman Blazar movie will be available to us here in the States. And I'm sure there'll be one or two more Ultraman series coming out this year that we'll have to do. But yeah, Starship Troopers next week. Starship Troopers.
I don't know if those are giant monsters, but it's good enough.
There's some really big bugs.
Some big bugs.
But anyway.
It's got Casper Van Dien. What more do you need?
It's Casper Van Dien. It ruined Casper Van Dien.
He never recovered.
It made him ruin him in one movie.
Denise Richards.
Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that what we need?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, as always, don't forget that you can contact us. SomethisWay1954@gmail.com and tell us if we're right or wrong about this movie. You can also find our website, Andrew. Where you can find that at?
SomethisWay.wordpress.com.
That's right. You can find our schedule through a few weeks anyway. And then you can also find our most recent episodes, stuff like that. Dylan, am I still active on social media?
I believe you're mostly active on Facebook, while we do technically still have an Instagram. They're connected for the most part.
Is it?
They could be. It's the same login.
Yeah. I don't know if it posts.
I don't know if it posts them over, but Facebook for sure. Stomp This Way.
Yeah.
Give us a follow.
Yep. I post religiously once a week about our new episode.
There you go.
Yeah.
So there you go. But other than that, I think that's all we got. Dylan, I want to say thank you.
Thanks for having me again.
Joining us this week and livening up this conversation about this new MonsterVerse film. And hope you can join us sometime in the not too distant future.
That's the plan.
And I think that's all we got for this week. Yeah. So as always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Dylan. And we'll catch you in the next one.